And again, we've moved along at a good pace so that we'd have the opportunity for questions. But I am also very grateful that Jill Guernsey de Sapien is here. She is another person who, with a long time dedication to the work, and someone that I've often admired. And so I'm glad that she's here to round out our panel.
The thing I actually love about it, APHA, is you're up here doing a presentation and an old friend walks into the room. It always happens, but I also love it because it's so energizing to be at APHA because it is one of the few places, I think, where activists, researchers, policy wonks, all of us come together, and it's about social change. It really is, and so it just really energizes me. And I'd like to, first of all, congratulate our panel members because I just think I'm the daughter of an activist. My dad was a labor organizer and in the 30s was organizing lettuce workers in California. And there may be a few other people in the room, but I grew up having to watch Harvest of Shame every single Thanksgiving before we could have dinner. And so it was kind of who I had to be. And so my heart is really in an activist. And right now I'm at the University of Arizona College of Public Health, and I sometimes wonder, what am I doing here? Because, like, the Dolores Huerta Foundation, they come to town, and I go to their things, and I get so jazzed up. But I also know how important it is when our previous speaker just said, you know, the things I'm going to show you, too, that it's not rocket science, but I know how important it is to really document the reality of what's going on with farm workers. So I'm going to talk to you about a project that we've been doing in Arizona for the past couple of years. It's actually a big team effort of a lot of different parts of the university and community organizations. And it's focused, how many of you know where Yuma, Arizona is? Great. Cesar Chavez was born there, so it was really a memorable moment to see the Dolores Huerta Foundation here and moving forward. But so we're looking at the community of Yuma, Arizona. It's a collaborative effort among a variety of institutions in the university that basically includes the College of Public Health and Mexican American Studies, and then two community-based organizations. One is Campesinos Sin Fronteras, which is a very well-known grassroots organization that has organized farm workers around the Promotora model throughout Yuma County, and it's been in existence for the past 15 years, and they do incredible dynamite work in the fields with workers. And Derechos Humanos, which is based in Tucson, Arizona, and is one of the organizations that's really on the forefront of monitoring abuse of human rights along the U.S.-Mexico border. For those of you who don't know where Yuma is, you can see it there on the map, and we're right close to California, but we're not California in many ways. We don't have the resources that California has, to say, among other things. They used to have, that's true. Now, yeah, right now nobody has them, right. So this project really grew out of a discussion that a whole lot of us had regarding what was going on in the Arizona-Sonora region. I'm sure I don't have to tell very many of you that in California they've done the largest, really important study on the health of farm workers suffering in silence, and it really gave an incredible picture of what I consider to be one of the most marginalized populations in the United States. Do I think that probably is reflective of Arizona? I absolutely think it's reflective of Arizona, but do we have the data to really show that? No, we don't. And so we really wanted to look at a health profile and the working and living conditions of farm workers in Arizona. We also were so acutely aware, those of us who live at the border know what has happened in the past years since the passage of NAFTA, the combination of the migration coming from Mexico because of the impact that NAFTA has had on rural areas in Mexico, combined with this phenomena that just took off in Arizona that took everybody by surprise in terms of this incredible anti-immigrant legislation that was happening, and then Homeland Security just coming in and all of their forces. And we kept saying, my God, if things were bad already in terms of the health and lives of people and communities at the border, what is it like now with all of this added on? We had the marker kind of a study that had been done by Mexican American Studies in Tucson in 93 and then in 2003, looking at reports of abuse of the Border Patrol and other law enforcement on a community that is called South Tucson that is about 90% Latino. And we found out that there were high rates of abuse that were being reported, but what was incredibly striking and that gave us a lot of ammunition to be able to look at this in a broader way was when we looked at those abuses, 80% of the abuse was happening to U.S. citizens, Latino U.S. citizens. So this was something that you could talk about way beyond. It's not about what's happening to the undocumented population. It's not about what's happening to a certain segment. This is happening to the community that we live in. And so it's really was front and center that this was a community issue that we had to deal with. And so we all got together and talked about what could we do to really look at that health profile, but at the same time document what is happening in terms of this environment at the U.S.-Mexico border. So we formed this partnership. They were organizations that we already worked with, but this partnership was specifically, I forgot to say, I don't have any financial interests. I just remembered that, and I forgot to say that NIOSH funded this, so there I did them both. But we had worked extensively with these organizations around specific issues, but this was a community-based participatory research. That's the buzzword, but we all came together and said, what do we really want to find out, and how can it be done in a way that's going to be really relevant to the community? And we put together collectively an instrument that was going to look at these issues in the community. We actually had the luxury, I would say, of being able to do a random sample in the community of Somerton and San Luis, as well as doing an opportunistic sample of farm workers that are crossing the border every day from San Luis, Rio Colorado, and really try to figure out what is going on. We formed a strong partnership with all the groups that are working with farm workers in the Yuma area because we wanted to bring this data back to them and say, okay, here it is. This is what it looks like. What are we going to do about it? So in a nutshell, that's kind of what we did. These are just, again, what I kind of said. But when we finished the survey, we realized that there was so much more we wanted to do. Most people do focus groups to kind of figure out their survey. We realized when the survey was over, we wanted to go more in depth on some of the issues. So we also did some focus groups in the community once we had the data from the survey. So we've done all the surveys, we've done a lot of workshops. These are just kind of some of the things we've done. We've presented our preliminary findings to a variety of organizations. We're still working on in-depth analysis, and we're still working on analysis of the focus groups, but we're pretty much way into it now. I wanted to talk about what we did, and it's really interesting that it's, you know, it's obviously a moment it's an issue that's so prevalent on people's minds because the previous presentation was talking about the very same issues that we're talking about, and you're talking about in Philadelphia, and we're talking about, you know, at the border. So these issues of stress and what it's doing to people in their communities is just really important. We used a variety of instruments to come together, and we also piloted some items that different farm workers that were working with us thought were really key to understanding the stress in the community. We looked at kind of six domains. We looked at border and migration stressors, acculturation stressors, barriers to health care, discrimination, economic strains, and family separation. If any of you are in, why is this doing this? If any of you are really interested in this, I'd be happy to share the entire instrument with you. And it's in the public domain, and anyone can use it. But these are the kind of items that were looked at on the stress scale. And then we also had a whole section specifically about mistreatment. And we asked them, have you ever been stopped by the police and questioned about your citizenship status? Was it the Border Patrol that stopped you? Did you know any other people who have been mistreated by immigration enforcement and authorities? And then we had them describe those encounters and, you know, qualitatively would really document exactly what had happened in those encounters. Just to remind us who we're talking about. The demographics of the population I actually found really similar to what we saw in the previous one. The household survey is a random survey, remember, and the opportunistic survey was at the border. And so these are kind of the demographics. I'm going to go through them really quickly. You can see the low educational levels. You can see where people were from. Sonora, of course, is our border state, and so you can see a large number from Sonora, but from all over Mexico, really. Immigration status, you can see it there, and you can see that, obviously, with our opportunistic sample, we were surveying people that were crossing at the border, so we weren't going to be right at the border crossing. We weren't going to be interviewing the undocumented population because they're crossing right there into the community. But when we did the random household survey, we did have the opportunity to really interact and talk more in depth about those issues, particularly with the undocumented population. They've worked a long time in the fields. These are the crops. You can see lettuce is the big one. Yuma is the lettuce capital of the world, we say. I'm sure California doesn't say that. I just like you to look at those of you who have done these kind of questionnaires that know that when you usually ask people what they think their health is, they usually say very good or excellent. It's always amazing to me. And so it's quite interesting to me that you see a large number of farm workers saying, you know, that their health was actually only fair. You can see that there are issues around depression. Health insurance, big issue. You can see that about 40% of the population has no kind of health insurance. These are the diagnoses. You can see chronic disease is a big, big issue among the farm workers. Obviously, anything related to musculoskeletal kinds of things is also an important issue. And here's some of the stuff around what was actually happening with the immigration officials. And I think what's most important is you go to the bottom of that. These are the people who have experienced it or saw it or whatever. And if you talk to them of, do you know how to file a complaint, you can see that the vast majority in either of the two samples said no. These are the most frequently reported stressors. And again, if people want this information, I actually have printouts of it. And then we, you know, had an open-ended question talking about some of the other things that really were on people's mind and stuff. And I just, it always kind of just really made it difficult for me when you would be seeing people who had worked their whole lives in the fields and hearing them saying, I'm the most worried about, I'm going to reach an age when I can't work anymore. And these were people that were already 60, 65, 70. Then we did some focus groups, but I know I don't have a lot of time left. And what I would tell you is one of our biggest, the whole issue that you all brought about language, about really understanding what people mean by stress, that became very important to the outreach workers that were doing these interviews. And so they really wanted to focus in the focus groups about really delving into what do you, you know, what does that really mean to you, and what are the words that you use to really describe that? The issue of family separation, I just can't speak as, and it is a profound issue for farm workers. And I can tell you, in San Luis Rio Colorado, I have been in that community for 25 years working with farm workers, and at 2:30 in the morning at the border, there are lines for 2 hours for people to cross, to get to the buses, to be there by 4:00 in the morning, to go out in the fields, and at 6:30 at night, you see those buses coming back, and you see people crossing over the border, and that is the people who are living there. And so even with their families close, they have no time with their families. And then you talk about the population actually being separated, that their family is in the interior of Mexico. It is one of the most stressful issues. Okay, I've just been told to move forward, but these were things from the focus groups. The focus groups people, they really wanted more legal assistance out there, because once it's kind of like you said, when you have a victory, it's really a victory. And when, particularly our promotores, when they got trained around derechos humanos and how do you file a complaint and stuff, I mean, they were off. They were ready to go. And their issue was how to really pass that kind of empowerment onto the community and get people willing to stand up and make those kinds of complaints. So these are some of the things that they would want to see happen. And I would just say for ourselves, we're still working on more in-depth analysis of the survey. We'd be happy to share it with anyone. We're working on identifying funding with our community partners on some of the interventions that they want to see happen. And I wanted to add something that we, a week ago, we actually had a meeting in the Yuma area where we brought together farm worker organizations from Sonora and Arizona and researchers from Sonora and Arizona that are working on farm worker issues, and we formed this binational network to really begin to talk about some of these issues in a much more binational voice, because the issues are the same. And being able to speak as a region as opposed to two different countries, I think, is really important. So if you'd like more information, I'm around afterwards, and we have a whole team. And if you want any more specific information, I have copies of it. Thanks.
Thank you so much. So we have 10 minutes for our hour to be up, and we would welcome any questions that you might have or comments or additions to what was presented. Does anyone have a question? Yes, ma'am.
Just to comment briefly, I think it was interesting the work at U of A. When I was at University of Washington, we did our own community surveys, focus groups, and found, I mean, from the top of my head, very similar issues. The number one issue was stress in the workplace, documentation, and didn't have so much the family stress, because a lot of people actually bring family up the Pacific Stream. But I thought that was interesting to compare the data, and I'd like to give you that work as well. Anyone else want to make comments on other people's?
I just found, I guess, some people we can collaborate with. Now. You know, just from the advocacy evaluation standpoint and the actual on the ground organizing and the data that you all collected quantitatively, qualitatively, I think it's going to strengthen, you know, the new president's role and what we can accomplish.
Yes.
Right?
Very happy to talk to you in detail. In fact, I'd be very happy for you to contract me. that was saying that tongue in cheek. It's very difficult to say what it is that different tools, because the bottom line and the thing that I failed to mention during my presentation is that apathy is one of the things that we run into, that people say is the reason that rural communities, and this is across all workers, right? I'm not just talking about Latino workers. And this feeling and this notion of apathy, I feel, is false, because the only thing that we identify as people that are apathetic are, it's inaction due to feelings of powerlessness. So then that's the reason that we're talking about, like, connecting people with their power. So that was I'm not sure I can answer your questions regards to other tools, other than listening to people. And they're going to tell you what it is that's important to them, and it's up to us to connect them with the right group of people where they can actually have an impact on their family's life and their personal health. Yes? Okay. Right.
To allow these people to get to their power is one of the things that we should be about.
Right.
You understand?
Like, right.
That
right.
We might have tools and interests and passions that the best we can do is remove the barriers.
Right.
And just for people to really feel their power.
I would add, if I could.
Yeah, please.
I mean, because I think, I'm, if not your parents, your grandparents, they and was raised in a home, you know, you need to look at the data around language and the stress that it created to not be able to hold your own. Because as a generation that was raised by parents who were punished for speaking Spanish, there is a lot about agency, about your ability to define yourself and the ability to represent yourself and articulate your position that is lost to people when you're battling against the language. So I think that that is a critical point that you all identified.
So I'd like to also echo cultural humility, cultural awareness, you know, cultural competency, you know, with critical reflection and dialogue. I think that's something Pablo was saying. I think you hit it right on the money as far as us being in a position to remove those barriers. Because like I said, you know, there are political and economic interests on the other side of that corridor. That without us really maybe bringing us as you know, principal investigators to really help champion the cause, it might get lost in the shuffle. Because those are, like we said, that one study, you know, suffering and silence, you know, the disparities in health. It's very true in that everything that we touched on is occurring, the stresses, the language, the fear. You know, there are a lot of abuses even within the H2A system. Tons. I just met a contratista contractor who was just telling me, oh, you know, this is happy hour. You know, how he's getting a lot of money, pocketing a lot of money. Again, slave labor kind of, you know, mentality. I mean, this is, we're 2008, you know, but this is still occurring. But I think you're right. I would also suggest you meeting up with Pablo and maybe connecting with the DHF, the Work Horta Foundation, for some tools on, you know, the reality of the political environment, you know, within farm markets.
I just wanted to close so I could sit down. Okay. I wanted to add this thing. One of the things that we're talking about, and I joke with Roberto because of all his library words that he uses, right? When we're talking about tools and tangible things, creating the environment for people to succeed, an example that I can give that's very solid is like in public spaces and public meetings, to have simultaneous translation regardless of the language so that everybody would be able to participate has been an incredible difference. So it goes to what you were talking about, for people to be able to feel like they're part of the process and they're allowed and actually have a place and a seat to participate within their own community, then whether it be a municipal government or a county government, to be able to be a part of these decisions that are made. Right? So I think that would be one of those things. But again, what is that we train on is actually a very comprehensive training that I actually, different segments that would last weeks at a time. But I'd be more than happy to speak to anybody interested in having that conversation.
Jill, you were leaning forward. Were you wanting to say something?
No, I was okay. Listening. I was excited.
Yes, please.
Around immigration issues, because we would like to further it in terms of the immigration
make a little bit more sense. It's very complex standards to go through because they're so poorly worded, and actually they're not complete on the internet, and it's really hard to get this information from anyone in the administration. But that would be the next step, specifically the writer, because that's something you could go into Congress every year. However, I think there's limitations to even, allowing OSHA to enforce on small farms because of the ability of OSHA to enforce anywhere, even where they have appropriate jurisdiction.
I think I want to chime in. That's a good point. About 6 hours north of here, there's very highly, even more, I think, conservative than Kern County, Tulare County, within part of what Pablo was talking about, there's this place-based health promotion strategy that's currently being funded by the California Endowment. Very grandiose, but the ultimate idea is to mobilize communities. And one of the partnering collaborative groups is CRLA, the California Rural Legal Assistance Organization. Some of you might be familiar with their advocacy. They bring litigating muscle to the table. One of the nice things, and I can connect you with them, is that they, in the Central Valley, as many of you know, during the summer, the heat is incredible. I mean, we're getting, I mean, Yuma's hot, so is the Central Valley. I mean, those are just some hot areas. There have been deaths attributed to the heat, and because of that, CRLA, along with some of these BODET partners, championed a heat stress campaign. Some of you have heard about that probably. And one of the things that they've been able to do at very different levels, at grassroots, to treetops, in between, they've been able to hold Cal OSHA accountable. So now they have a direct line with a direct representative of Cal OSHA, as well as the County Health and Human Service Agency, to be more proactive with growers and farm workers. It's that question, can we find common cause between growers? Those that have power, those that don't, the little man at the low end of the totem pole. But it's interesting that they've been able to get some leverage. But I'd be more than happy to share with you some of those findings. But they've been able to do that very strategically. But again, it's one of those advocacy groups that have a long-standing established root system, like Dolores Huerta, CRLA, historically, they bring their litigated muscle. But again, they've been able to work. We're now, the Tulare County Health and Service Agency is now adopted. They've taken that that heat stress campaign from these groups that we want to adopt it. We want you to be our eyes and ears, but we'll take it from here.
Okay, well, and we are at the end, so let's give them an applause, and then Amy has something
to say. Hi, I'm Amy Lehman, and I'm with Fire Commission Network, and I'm also a member of the Occupational Health and Safety Section, and we have an Occupational Health Affairs Institute that helps sponsor this session, and we welcome your feedback and input, and please let us know what you think of their session and for program ideas for next year.
Within occupational
health and safety, as well as the occupational health
and
safety. Here's an evaluation
form
for
you all to fill them out as well.
And great. Thank you guys very much. I want to.
Thank you. Thank you very good. Much. I'm going to connect. You have a card. I would really like it. I'm going to say, whoever comes to the Global Health Council.
That's so cool.
Because that's what they do.
That should have been my answer to you. My answer to you was like, we provide.
and childcare, all of our meetings. So what is the one biggest goal that we can have for families is childcare. Just to be able to have their hands free. Or to be okay with having kids as a meeting.
But I thought this thing about the simultaneous transition. I mean, if you really want people to share, you have to invest. That's a nice thing to have that ability. Anyway, thank you very much. Great session and your work is.
I wanted to say
thank you for being a great dog.
Networks within the agency with people who do community-based work.
Oh, okay.
And there for another 8 months. Yeah.